everyone. I'm Shamitha Basu, in for Tanzina Vega, who's still on maternity leave. It's good to have you here with us on The Takeaway. The COVID-19 pandemic has forced cities all across the U.S. to try and address homelessness in a more comprehensive way. Some major cities, including Philadelphia, New Orleans, and San Francisco, are putting unsheltered people into hotels to keep them safe from the spread. We recently spoke to San Francisco Mayor London Breed about the challenges involved.
And so this is the age of social distancing. And I think that it's a lot more challenging, not just for San Francisco, but for anyone with a large homeless population. So to expect us to all of a sudden open up every hotel room and have the ability to take care and house this group of people and things would get better is not necessarily realistic.
But the fixes cities are implementing, including moving people who are experiencing homelessness into hotels, are largely temporary. So what happens when the COVID-19 pandemic has passed? Many advocates are hoping the scale of this crisis will force officials to put new policies in place that will make lasting change to keep unsheltered people safe and to reduce homelessness overall. Nan Roman joins us to talk about this. She's the president and CEO of the National Alliance to End Homelessness. And Jared Bray is with us also. He's a freelance reporter in Philadelphia and housing correspondent for the nonprofit news organization Next City. Hey, Nan. Hey, Jared.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Hey.
Jared, can you start by giving us an overview of the scope of COVID-19's effect on people who are experiencing homelessness nationwide? And where are we seeing the most significant impact?
Well, these folks are among the most vulnerable in any event. And so with a public health emergency like the one we're facing now and the possibility of a disease that's so communicable, folks who don't have homes are at some of the greatest risk. The main public directive to avoid spreading this disease is to stay at home. And so for people who don't have homes, that's clearly impossible. And, you know, places like New York have experienced the greatest outbreak. So I think that the folks who are unhoused there are seeing this some of the worst, too. But cities all over are trying to figure out how to deal with housing people who haven't been housed for a long time and are now at a much greater risk of harm.
Nan, there has been some federal relief action to support states and cities who are having efforts to try and offer assistance to people who are currently experiencing homelessness. What kinds of federal action have we seen so far?
Well, there's been considerable investment in helping communities to address homelessness during the pandemic. So Congress provided $4 billion in Emergency Solutions Grant funding, which is a flexible kind of formula funding that goes to everyone in the country. And that is going to provide a lot of assistance. What needs to be done really is twofold: to get people into spaces that conform with the CDC guidance so that they have enough distance between each other and they're quarantined or isolated if they need to be. And then also to address what's going to happen during the economic recovery. And those ESG resources will help with that. There's also other federal money, the Relief Fund, and other programs that could provide assistance to homeless people during the pandemic.
Mm. And when you say $4 billion, I mean, give us a sense of whether that's a large amount of money for this, or is that a drop in the bucket?
Well, we did an estimate, or we actually asked University of Pennsylvania researcher and some colleagues to do an estimate of what it would cost just to reconfigure the shelter system to conform to CDC guidance around these issues. And they estimated it would cost $11.5 billion to do so. Mm. So we got $4 billion of that. We still are going to need additional resources, and that isn't really even moving people along into housing. That's really just to reconfigure the current system.
Hmm. Jared, we've been speaking on this show about how many cities have been moving people who are street homeless to hotels or community centers. Can you give us a sense of how this is working in a few different cities?
Yeah, you know, most cities are, like you mentioned, trying to, at least most cities that I've heard about, are trying to find hotel rooms to individually house homeless people who either have been infected or at least sort of exposed to the virus to a certain degree. There's also sort of questions around how to shelter people in emergency ways that don't involve, you know, sort of congregate shelters. I think that a lot of the typical homeless shelters we think of, people are pretty close together and don't have a lot of personal space, and that's clearly become a problem during the pandemic. In San Francisco and a lot of other cities in California, local governments, county governments, and state government to a certain degree was trying to lease hotel rooms for this purpose. And a couple have talked about sort of permanently acquiring hotels. I know Missoula, Montana recently just purchased a motel downtown that it's going to use for emergency housing for people who've been exposed or infected. And then once the emergency is lifted, hopefully, if the emergency is ever lifted, they're going to plan to redevelop that property as permanent affordable housing. So they're trying to sort of kill two birds with one stone, which is the emergency housing question and the longer term affordable housing shortage, which contributes to the homelessness problem in the first place.
We have been talking to a lot of jurisdictions that are trying to use the hotel and motel strategy. One concern we have is that very few unsheltered people are being brought into shelter. Most of the people that are moving into the hotels and motels seem to be coming out of shelters that are trying to thin out to some degree. We also know that jurisdictions are saying, telling us that they're having a difficult time staffing those hotels and motels. A lot of organizations, sheltering organizations, have lost staff people either because they've become ill or because they're concerned about catching the virus, or they have their children at home because they're not in school, various different reasons. And this is a challenging population that needs support, and it's hard to staff up basically on a dime. But it's a very important strategy, and I think places are starting to get better at it.
And Jared, what about rental assistance? Have any cities made efforts to formalize rental relief, especially for people who are experiencing homelessness right now?
Yeah, quite a few. I know that in Orange County, Florida, that at the very sort of at the beginning of the pandemic, they had opened up a local rental assistance program, and it was so quickly overwhelmed with applicants that they had to shut it down within, you know, just a few hours, basically. Last week in Dallas, the same thing happened. They opened up a rental assistance program locally that people who had lost income because of the pandemic could apply for rental assistance and mortgage assistance. And I think that lasted about 30 hours, and they had about 10 times more applicants than they were able to actually serve. I live in Philadelphia, and they're opening their own PHL rental assistance program this next week, just in a couple of days here. So we're going to see what's going to happen with that. But a lot of cities are using some of the CARES Act money to create rental assistance programs and then just seeing the demand be much greater than they're ready to meet.
And Nan, what are cities doing to keep people who are living without permanent shelter safe in this moment besides finding physical shelter for them? Are they doing anything to provide hygiene or anything else that's helpful to them in a moment like this?
Some jurisdictions are really working with people who are unsheltered, largely those in encampments, and not everyone who's unsheltered lives in an encampment. A lot of people really live individually, you know, either in a tent or they move around. But where there are groups of people living outside, there are jurisdictions in California, D.C., and elsewhere where they're providing hygiene materials, porta potties, doing cleanups, and so forth. But really, we need to get these unsheltered people into shelter at a minimum and eventually into housing in order to protect their health. People who are unsheltered are very vulnerable in terms of their health. They're much more disabled and ill than people who are sheltered, much less people who are in homes. So it's really imperative that we deal with unsheltered homeless people and get them in. And I don't think we've made a lot of progress on that, to be honest.
Jared, can you speak briefly to the crisis of food insecurity in this moment and what efforts have been made to connect people with access to food?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the consequences of having congregate shelters be sort of more dangerous places to be now that there's a public health crisis is that people haven't known what to do in terms of communal cooking and a lot of things like that that used to happen in those kinds of shelters. I know in Cambridge, Massachusetts, the mayor there instituted a program where the city is basically paying restaurants that have had to shut down because of the stay-at-home orders to make meals for some of the local homeless shelters, and they've had a range of restaurants participate in that and are sort of creating meals that can then be passed out in a safe manner to folks who are using the shelters. Some other cities have done similar things.
Nan, are there projections for how many more Americans could become homeless as a result of this pandemic?
I have not seen any projections on how many people are likely to become homeless. I would say first that because of the additional resources, federal resources at least, we do have a chance, I think, if we're strategic, to move a lot of people who are currently homeless into housing. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot of fears about what's going to happen as the country opens up again. Many people now are living under rent forbearance programs. They don't have to pay the rent at the moment. But when all of this ends, they're going to still owe those arrearages. These are many of the same people who haven't been able to work or only work sporadically. They're not going to have 3 months worth of back rent. They don't have assets or they would have been paying the rent already. We also have a lot of eviction moratoriums around the country and in certain kinds of housing that prevent people who can't pay their rent from being evicted, but those will also go away. And so I think we're going to have a lot of people who owe rent and are able to be evicted and are evicted. And I'm concerned that we need to plan better about what's going to happen to them. We, the Alliance, and many other groups have come together to request $100 billion in the next stimulus bill for rental assistance, in great part to prevent replacing the existing group of homeless people with just a new group that comes out of this pandemic.
Mm. And as we're seeing different cities reacting to the needs of unsheltered people during this pandemic, do you believe that any of these temporary solutions give way to long-term solutions?
Yes, I do think so. And I think we have resources to move in that direction. And I think a lot of jurisdictions, California, the District of Columbia, where I live, just took some steps to improve the situation, allowing or requiring that landlords give people time to set up a payment plan for their rent arrearages. I think it's possible that we could come out of this better.
Nan Roman is president and CEO of the National Alliance to End Homelessness, and Jared Bray is a freelance reporter in Philadelphia and housing correspondent for Next City. Thank you both very much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.